Welcome to ICTJ's podcast, where we discuss transitional justice developments from across the globe. At the end of October, the International Center for Transitional Justice will be hosting a conference on transitional justice in Cairo in collaboration with the Cairo Institute for Human Rights Studies. The conference will address how transitional justice measures can benefit Egypt and other societies undergoing transition in the Middle East and North Africa region. What are the challenges and lessons learned in other contexts? We are here today with ICTJ MENA Deputy Director Mu'tazz Al-Fujairi to spot the light on this conference as well as on other important issues in a region witnessing historical transitional moments. Thanks for joining us, Mu'tazz.
Hi.
The Arab Spring has yet again highlighted the importance of transitional justice in societies seeking a transfer to democracy. What is the importance of this upcoming conference, and how do you see that it can benefit the region?
Well, we observe in the region a lot of significant political development happened, started from Tunisia to Egypt, Libya, where regimes there collapsed, and president or leaders who controlled these countries for decades were toppled in a peaceful, white popular uprising. Also in other countries like Yemen, Syria, Bahrain, we still observe the political unrest which grew day by day. So we can speak about a general wide of frustration, and this frustration manifested in a popular uprising against political dictatorship and deterioration of economic situation in these countries. There is a heavy legacy of human rights abuses in most of the country in the region. If we speak about Egypt, Egypt, you know, was ruled under a state of emergency for decades. Torture was used systematically. Human rights violations were committed under the justification of combating terrorism. In Tunisia, we can speak also about different patterns of violation, forced disappearance, arbitrary detention, torture. In Libya, it is one of the most serious human rights situation, not just in the Arab region, but even in the world during the rule of Muammar Gaddafi. So in this situation, any transition should deal with the legacy of human rights abuses. Regardless of the model which will be chosen to deal with this legacy, there is a need to face this legacy. And we also saw that people after these transitions proposed different aspiration and proposals to achieve accountability, institutional reform, reparation for victims of these violations. But of course, all of this transitional justice debate is highly connected to the political process and the transitional period which in process in this country. So this is a context which developed the idea of having this conference in Egypt. You know, ICTJ made another conference in Tunisia where people discussed the suitable model of transitional justice in Tunisia and exposed different comparative experiences from all over the group. The same will be happened in Egypt. We will also expose what is the purpose and methods of transitional justice, what are the different models which have seen in other countries in the world, without imposing certain model. You know, people will discuss, will have the opportunity to discuss different models and also to reflect on the current local social, cultural, political context in Egypt in order to facilitate this process for local civil society and local officials. And this conference also will invite participants from Arab countries where we can also learn lessons from other transition in the region and also exchange ideas with people from countries where transition okay right now, like Syria or Yemen. So this conference will be held in cooperation with a prominent human rights organization in Egypt and the Arab region, which is the Cairn Institute for Human Rights Studies, and it will target human rights community in Egypt, in the Arab countries, and also political community, officials, media personnel, and academics.
We have seen initial attempts to address human rights violations and achieve accountability in countries such as Tunisia and Egypt. So how do you think that these countries will be able to address past as well as present violations of human rights?
There are a lot of challenges, of course, because transitional justice, the quality of transitional justice is highly dependent on the political will which prevail in this country and the successful transition which occurred right now. And there are differences between Egypt and Tunisia. One can say that in Tunisia, they chose to make the constitution first. There's more consultation with civil society, human rights community included in the decision making. However, there are also some concerns, like after the revolution, some human rights violations continue to occur. And also it seems in Tunisia, like Egypt, that there is no holistic approach to deal with the legacy of past human rights abuses. There is no strategy, comprehensive strategy to unveil the truth about these violations and also to push forward the accountability process. In both countries, in Egypt and Tunisia, the focus has been given on the violations which were committed during the revolution, but not beyond that. So this is the effort now of civil society in both countries to enlarge the scope and the mandate of truth-seeking process and to include also systematic abuses which are committed before the revolution, because in any society, it's difficult to open a new page without looking forward. We look forward to, we look back to go forward and to learn lessons from the past and to make sure that this violation will not be repeated again. In Egypt, the same. In Egypt, there was no truth-seeking process to know how this country was managed during the previous decades. The focus was given to the 18 days of the revolution, and without having this comprehensive strategy, transitional justice will not be achieved adequately, because the government, we saw that transitional authority in Egypt was very much responsive to street pressure, but it has not proposed a strategy which can tackle not only the violation committed during the revolution, but the past human rights violation, institutional reform, accountability, learning lessons from these violations and making policy recommendations in order to drastically reform human rights landscape in the country. So political process will tell us a lot. We hope that after elections, there will be a new elected government in both countries, which will be able to listen to the aspiration of their people and to develop modalities which are suitable to the local condition in this country.
Talking about the past abuses and taking the case of Egypt, what chances do you see for succeeding in fighting corruption? And can transitional justice measures be useful?
Well, we spoke about human rights abuses, but in Egypt and Tunisia and many Arab countries, economic crimes and the corruption was dominant during the authoritarian regime, you know, during Mubarak, Zine El Abidine Ben Ali in Tunisia. There was an atmosphere of impunity and there was no transparency of public services and officials in these countries. And we saw in Egypt after the fall of Mubarak, the prosecutor referred tens of senior officials who are accused of economic crimes and squandering public money. So the first step, of course, is to investigate, drastically investigate these crimes. Although we have a lot of cases which emerged in Egypt, what we lack, in fact, is that these cases are selective, but we have not based the prosecutorial strategy on a serious and deep investigation on economic crimes committed during Mubarak rule, but the regime, under pressure of the street, selected some, of course, officials, including ex-President Mubarak, on some selected economic crimes. But I'm sure that based on report published by civil society, Egyptian civil society, international transparency organizations, there are other important cases which need to be investigated. But without having a national commission which investigate crimes, economic crimes and corruption cases which dominated during the previous decade, these trials will be very selective. And it is also very important and relevant to develop policies in order to eradicate corruption and to make sure that corruption will not be practiced again. We are heading toward election. We have new government. People have aspiration to improve their economic situation. So it is very crucial to the economic situation in the country to make sure that corruption ends and there are adequate strategy to eradicate corruption. Another challenge which faces the Egyptian authority right now is the issue of asset recovery. Because, you know, a wide share of looted asset hide in all over the world, in Europe, in other, you know, countries, and it's very complicated given the global economic situation to recover this asset. And it needs effort, in fact, from the government. It needs cooperation from international actors with the government, and it needs partnership between the government and civil society, lawyers, independent lawyers, to make sure that this recovery will be, this asset will be recovered. But the first step, of course, to make sure that there is a fair process, fair trial, which occur in the country in order to use any judgment, conviction internationally, and to make sure that this looted money will be recovered.
ICTJ's mission is to assist societies in transition in developing ways to deal with legacies of past abuses. A delegation of ICTJ experts will be visiting Egypt prior to the conference. Could you brief us on the important discussions that will be held and the expected outcomes?
At this stage, we organize thematic missions in order to assess the situation of transitional justice and to assess the needs of local communities in Egypt. In July, we organized a mission on criminal justice, and before the conference, there will be another mission on reparation, where ICTJ experts will contact different local actors who are involved in the reparation process, such as victims organization, family of victims, government officials who are specialized in the issue of reparation, civil society, lawyers, to discuss and evaluate the programs of reparation which developed by the government after the revolution. These programs included reparation on human rights abuses committed during the 18 days of the revolution. But in Egypt, there is a legacy of human rights abuses, and there is a long list of victims whose human rights violated during the previous decades. And in this mission, we will try to assess the possibility of enlarging the scope of the reparation program in Egypt, and also to assess the efficiency of the reparation program which established after the revolution. So this mission will be also followed in 1 or 2 months by another mission on security sector reform and vetting process. And at this stage, you know, we try to develop modalities or to understand the local context which affect different transitional justice theme, such as reparation, criminal justice, institutional reform, and gender as well. So this is as part of this analysis, but also it is opportunity for us to develop our partnership in Egypt, and also to provide different actors with technical advice where it is needed.
Trials of former country leaders and officials have started in the region. What challenges face these trials and their credibility?
The most important challenge is that many of these trials made in rush and under public pressure. You know, there was no serious investigation before initiating these trials. In Egypt, the military council was responsive to the street pressure and they started the prosecutorial process, but without establishing before a committee which was able to investigate human rights abuses committed under the outgoing regime. The accusation which were directed against Mubarak and his associate concentrated on the violation committed during the 18 days of the revolution, but not beyond that. Thirdly, another challenge is that the institutions which were involved in human rights violation are the same institution which provides them with trial and prosecution. I'm speaking here about the prosecutor, general prosecutor in Egypt, for instance, the Minister of Interior. So before engaging in drastic and significant reform for security sector reform and judiciary, it is very much difficult to initiate domestic trials in transitional society. And trials themselves need to take time because the accusations are very complicated. The crime are very much need deep and significant investigation. Otherwise, trial will be very much cosmetic and it might lead to a fragmented society or it might even destabilize these countries. But anyway, it was very much significant in a country like Egypt to see ex-president who is being prosecuted. But in order to maximize the impact of this trial, investigation need to be fair and adequate, and also institutions like prosecution need to be independent, and civil society, human rights community need also to be included in the investigation process, because human rights organizations were very active during 80s and 90s in Egypt, and they were able to document a lot of human rights violations. They are able now to provide some evidence and document and also to identify victims of these violations.
Women have taken part in the demonstrations that took place in several countries in the region. What role do you see for women in the future, and what is being done at the level of gender justice?
Of course, there are differences, you know, between a country like Egypt and Tunisia. We see in Tunisia that there are the authorities pay attention to the issue of gender, and they are represented in the different transitional period mechanism. Whereas in Egypt, they are very much marginalized. Gender is marginalized. Women are not included in the transitional period. For instance, the committee which was established in order to modify the constitution did not include, you know, a woman organization or gender or feminist representation. So the general observation in a country like Egypt that women and gender are marginalized during the transitional period. Election process is very important to give opportunity for women to participate, and because the coming parliament will play an important role in establishing the constitutional committee which will draft the constitution. But it is not clear if women will be able also to be represented well in the parliament, because there is no quota for women representation in the parliament. Unlike, you know, the situation in Tunisia, where there is a specific requirement for parties to include women in their party list. But in Egypt, there is no quota or there are no guarantees to make sure that women are represented in the parliament or in the constitutional committee. Moreover, there are also violations which continued after the revolution in Egypt. Violence against women in demonstration, violence against women which very much connected to their political activities. There are gender-specific needs in human rights advocacy in Egypt. And unfortunately, our criminal law does not give considerable attention to gender-specific needs with regard to human rights violations. There are also a lot of cultural and social barriers before enhancing the role of women in the transitional period. For this reason, you know, ICTJ will try also to work, to engage with women group in Egypt on enhancing the role of gender during the transitional period. And in early December, we are going to organize a workshop on gender mainstreaming in the transitional period in Egypt, and what role for women can be played in the debate on transitional justice, because we saw in many other experiences in the world that transitional justice mechanisms themselves need to be sensitive to women need and to mainstream gender approach to their work.
Thank you, Matez.
Thank you.